From historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, this is The Seminary Explores. Conversations about people, politics, theology, and life with your host, Dr. Kristen Johnston-Largen.
Hi, I'm Kristen Johnston-Largen here with the Seminary Explorers podcast, and my guest today is Reverend Eric Schaefer, formerly Senior Vice President with Odyssey Networks, and has just been called to be Senior Pastor at Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Santa Monica, California. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks, Kristen. It's good to be here.
Great to have you on the program. Well, what we want to talk about today in general is religion and media, what that suggests to you, what the opportunities and some of the pitfalls are from the church, and let's start from there and just kind of see where the conversation takes us.
Sure. I'm happy to talk about that. As you know, I spent 15 years of my life as the communications director for the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America in Chicago, and was there at a very ripe time in the 1990s and early part of this century when the internet came, when the ELC had its first web page.
Wow.
When we did a very successful advertising project in 1999 and 2000 for the church. We can talk about that actually a little bit. When we did a whole series of firsts with that, and had the staff to do and the budget to do some things. It was an exciting time. But I've always been fascinated by the intersection of religion and media, the intersection of faith and mass media. We Lutherans have a history of using mass media well. I mean, obviously, the Reformation came about because of the printing press.
Right, right.
And there are those that think the internet is the printing press for this next 500-year cycle. We can get back to that.
Sure.
But in the case of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the ELCA and its forebears, we're kind of famous for some of the things we've done in media. In 1959, the ULCA, United Lutheran Church in America, took $1 million of surplus money.
Imagine that. Surplus money. I don't know what that even looks like.
Yeah. And, 1959, what would that be today?
Yeah, right.
And
oh, my gosh.
Decided to invest in children's television.
Wow.
For the broadcast networks. And out of that came Davy and Goliath.
Oh, right.
Stop-motion animation for children, 65, 15-minute pieces, and I think there were about a half dozen half-hour and one-hour specials. I ended up doing some of that work in Chicago.
Oh, wow, how
fun. That was exactly fun. But
yeah.
They were shown, as many of our listeners will remember, on broadcast TV, ABC, CBS, NBC, kind of like a syndicated show would be.
Okay, wow.
And they were shown across the country, and having had their responsibility for bringing Davy and Goliath back, which we did in the year 2003, it was very interesting to talk to the people who grew up on Davy, Christians, Jews, people of no faith, for whom Davy was their friend.
Wow.
There's actually some sadness in that when I heard those stories. The only friend I had was
Wow.
from Davy and Goliath.
Yeah.
But, the first television program with African-American characters?
Really?
Was Davy and Goliath?
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea.
The Lutheran Church has this rich history, and you could go, you could go to our print, and, the Lutheran Church magazines go back hundreds
sure.
of years.
Sure.
The forebears of the Lutheran magazine now, and you could go to all of our various, and of course the great history of scholarship that you well know as a scholar, but our point is we know about mass media. We were one of the founding partners of what was called the Protestant Hour, and now it's called Day One,
wow.
the religious program. And, of course, some of the most famous speakers on that program were Stemfli, Van Arsdale,
yeah.
and Lundblad.
Isn't that neat?
And they
yep.
are among the best known. And when you read yep. the history of that program, those names kind of shine.
Yeah.
We have done radio and television, but just like the problem is, of course, in those media especially, is consistency, not consistency in quality, but keeping doing it.
Sure.
Impressions, as they say in advertising. And we've never had the funds to keep the impressions going.
Yeah. Well, and it seems like, Eric, so thinking about radio and thinking about television, but now thinking about computers, right? It doesn't feel to me like the ELCA, the Lutheran Church, has continued continued to be at the forefront there. Is that just my own misconception, lack of understanding, or would you say that there's been, and of course, we could talk about church websites, but we probably don't want to. I mean, how would you say that, I mean, and again, you were talking about there, I mean, you mentioned the web project for the church. I mean, how it seems like from what you're saying that the ELC, well, it wasn't the ELCA then, but the, well, maybe it was the ELCA,
was
ready and poised to take advantage and really engage with some of these, the new computer technologies. How would you?
I'm very hesitant to criticize or comment on the ELCA's communication strategies today, since I'm not there.
Oh, sure. Fair enough. Yeah, of course.
But I think it is fair to say that with the bottom dropping out of churchwide support, that the ELCA has not been able to do the kind of work in television, either long form or short form,
okay,
is what internet television
was. Oh, sure. Yeah, right.
We regularly did documentaries for the broadcast networks when I was at the ELCA, and that continued until 5-8 years ago.
Wow.
But, you know, there's no longer staffing for that,
yeah,
there's no longer money for
right.
that, and
right.
so I do think, but I think that's important in the sense
yeah.
that, and this is no fault of anyone who works at the ELCA or any presiding bishop,
no.
the fact that there's no money to do these things,
right.
we're behind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Our pastors, our lay people can get lots of good short form video produced by Christians or, of all ilk.
Right.
Many of them much more conservative than we would like
right.
to see in theology. And there
right.
isn't a Lutheran counterpoint.
Yeah.
And we
right.
even tried to do that at Odyssey on an interfaith basis and found that everyone wanted our stuff and no one wanted to pay for it.
Right.
And it's a huge challenge today in this.
Sure.
In Odyssey's case, the bottom also dropped out of what you and I would call television with meaning. Not that there isn't wonderful television there, because I think broadcast TV right now and cable TV, this is the best time ever for dramas.
Yeah.
But on cable TV especially, the crap, if we can
yeah,
use
well,
that
yeah.
word,
I think
that
we can.
Passes for what's so-called reality TV.
Right.
Which is not really reality TV in the industry. We just call it unscripted television.
Oh, interesting.
They're really unscripted dramas or comedies. They're
sure.
really not reality TV, as you well know. When you edit them, they don't no longer
yeah.
are reality.
Right.
But anyway, the fact that that's all that they were interested in has made it very difficult for Odyssey Networks.
Right.
One of the reasons why I'm not there anymore. So,
yeah.
But you know, I guess if I could make a plea, and that would be that we as Lutherans, you know, not, first of all, remember our heritage as pioneers in radio and television, and then now with the new video medium being short-form video on the internet,
sure.
to kind of say, how can we get back involved in this, and where can
yeah,
we find
good.
Our niche? Because I think it's important to do,
right.
'cause you get, if we're not there anymore, we're not on the the ELCA has some wonderful short form pieces on their website, they're still producing a few things like that. But with any regularity, with any wider, you know, the YouTube channels, the just, you know,
right.
I mean, we have congregations with YouTube channels that have a lot more video than churchwide
right.
or synods do
right.
because there's no money.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and
right. Right.
And that's just the reality of things.
Yeah. Well, what do you see that are some of the real opportunities here that the church can and should be taking advantage of? I mean, that would affect the message that it tells the culture about itself, or the what it conveys to its own members about who it is and what the call is to be Christian in the world today.
Well, you know, some years ago, I served on the staff of the Northeastern Pennsylvania Synod,
uh-huh.
and I was called there to do stewardship, and the bishop said, by the way, you have communication. And we started to try to take communication seriously, and all of a sudden, I had people at my door who were communication professionals and hadn't found a way to express that within their congregation.
Okay.
They were TV, radio, print professionals, and their congregation wanted them to be on the stewardship committee or the evangelism
oh.
committee. And when they heard that the Northeast Pennsylvania Synod at that time was going to be serious about communication and ended up doing a weekly television show.
Wow, fabulous.
They actually came to me. I had people knocking on the door. The point is, there are more than ever of those folks in our pews who are professionals or are young people.
Oh, right. Who are amazing. Yeah, right.
Community college people who are, and college people who are looking for a place to express the talents they have. So I guess, you know, a minute ago I was lamenting the lack of money on Churchwide for doing this, but our only opportunity seems to be that we should be finding these people who are already being very creative and putting them to work, for nothing as a volunteer or for just whatever we can provide for them.
Right.
Because I think there's a rich potential there of folks with talent who could be helping us and probably aren't now because they haven't been asked.
Yeah, right. Well, and I think, you know, certainly I can imagine at the churchwide level there a certain amount of financial support would be necessary. But, you know, if you have a cell phone, it's a smartphone and a YouTube channel, you can put up a video for very little. And, of course, it's not, you know, the nicer video you want to make, the more expensive it is. But thinking about what's possible, again, like you were saying, with I'm not sure. I wonder if we've as a church thought enough outside the box about what even that would look like.
I think you made an important point there. There was a time, and it was during the time when I was involved in ELCA communication, where because of MTV, which is now, 30 years old?
Yeah, I can't believe it. Makes me feel old.
If things weren't of the highest quality, people ignored them.
Right.
That's not
the
case anymore.
No, that's right. Yeah,
and younger people especially are sharing these, what you and I might call very primitive videos because of the content or the music or the fun or the embarrassment.
Yeah, right.
And so therefore, that gives us permission. Yes, you can do a video with your cell phone. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the point is, it doesn't have to be very good anymore.
Right.
And so that's a wonderful opportunity for our institutions, including this institution, for our colleges, for our congregations to say, how can we harness? You know, I think every congregation should have a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Because they and then just harness their young people to use it.
Right.
We should be just, you know, and, you know, what a great opportunity. Have the confirmation class go out and do videos on creation.
Yeah. It's really a great idea.
Perfect.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Also, that one actually also works very well on Pinterest, but just on photos.
Yeah,
because,
right.
You know, I mean, but, I'm aware of this. Speaking of Pinterest, and we can go a little all over the place here, I know, but I'm aware of a project called, I think it's called Sneakers for Sarah.
Oh, haven't heard of it.
Well, I believe there's a Lutheran connection. I believe it's a young woman who has to go under treatment for cancer treatments, and she wears her high tops.
Okay.
And so all of her friends and their friends and their friends are taking pictures of high tops with them in them, with flowers in them, and they're posting them on this Pinterest site called Sneakers for Sarah, which I think is also a Twitter site, as a way of supporting this young woman in this. Well, what a creative idea,
right?
You know, and did that cost any money?
Yeah, of course not.
And so there are ways we can harness these new opportunities to reach out to folks. And the truth is, and this may be a topic for another discussion, but we're not going to reach a certain generation with the old.
Yeah.
With they're just not going to respond.
Yeah.
And so we've got to find a way to reach, you know, this new N-O-N-E-S generation, which is, what, 30-some percent of those under age 35?
Right.
And all the research I've done has shown that those numbers don't change, so they'll be 30% when they're 65.
Okay.
In the baby boomer generation, I think it's 12 or 17%, and that stayed the same during their whole lifespan. It isn't at point that some point at 60 they woke up and have said, oh, I'm going to die, I better go to church. No.
Yeah.
If you don't go to church when you're 20 or 30, not too likely to go when you're 60. And that is, you know, that's a change from 50, 60 years ago when people came back.
Yeah.
They're not coming back. So anyway, but the point is, the communication vehicles available to us, some of which are very inexpensive, to do something fairly quality. I mean, you know, some of the lenses on the new cell phone cameras aren't as good as any of the fine quality cameras.
Exactly.
I still like a camera myself, but, you know, that's partly maybe because of my age.
Who knows? Well, we're about halfway through, so let me take a moment to again say this is Kristen Johnston-Largen here with Reverend Eric Schaefer with the Seminary Explorers podcast, and we're talking about different issues in religion and media. Eric, I wanted to take a shift here in the conversation a little bit and ask you about something that I hear a lot, both sides of the argument, about do different media technologies isolate us or bring us closer, right? You mentioned kind of the generation thing, and so you hear a lament. I just heard this when I was doing a presentation with a group last week, complaining, an older woman complaining about the young people who are always on their phones and they're not paying attention to the people around them, you know. And you have the young people who are saying, this is a great way for me to stay in contact with my friends. And so if you think about one of the most important things I think that the church does is, of course, embody, literally, the body of Christ, right? That's who we are, and this relational existence that's so fundamental. How do we think about media technologies in that? Because, again, you know, should people be tweeting about the sermon in church, or...
Yes, they should be. And Lutherans and Catholics and Episcopalians go crazy. Ah,
I know.
Can't do that. We're in a church.
That's
a great point. First of all, the answer to that woman... or man who says that is, I'm sorry you feel that way, but that's the way it is. So that's the kind of harsh answer to that.
Okay.
But let me be more positive.
Okay. Don't leave us there, Eric. No.
I love an example I heard in a sermon recently. And you probably, Kristen, and maybe some of our listeners have heard a similar example. The example was the pastor was preaching. Not too big a congregation, so she could look out and see that she could see the people.
Yeah.
And so she saw in the third row Susan from her confirmation class writing, taking notes on her sermon. And she was really pleased. And then over the other side, she saw Mark from her confirmation class playing on his cell phone. And she was really angry. Well, after church, she checked with Mark. She kind of wanted to chew Mark out, and she wanted to congratulate Susan, and she found it was exactly the opposite. Susan was writing a note to her friends and not paying attention, and Mark was writing how wonderful the sermon was and sending a tweet.
Yeah, right.
So, first of all, I think you've all heard the lament that no one writes letters anymore, the post office is going broke, blah, blah. You know, there's more being written in personal communication in the year 2014 than in all of history.
It's just
being written electronically.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, text messages alone are probably, you know, multiple times more than ever letters were written in a given year.
Yeah.
I mean, and so there's more written communication than ever before. It's just communication that some folks are not comfortable with.
Yeah, right.
But I think we have to set that reality, that there actually is. You know, if we believe as Christians that we want to spread the gospel in ways old and new, and we want to use new technology, well, then of course we would want people to tweet during worship if they found a hymn that they loved, a prayer that was very meaningful afterward, we hope, and a sermon that had really good points. And, you know, but that does make those of us, especially from liturgical traditions, a little antsy. We get a little worried about that. I mean, certainly starting a new congregation, I'm going to try, even maybe in some formal ways, of saying, okay, everybody, take out your smartphones and send a note. Write to somebody about how you love, how God loves you.
Yeah.
And, you know, invite them to church next week. I mean, I think we have to look at those vehicles. You know, it is unfortunate. I mean, I have a friend, when you're having a conversation with her, she's on her phone.
Yeah.
Writing about our conversation on Facebook. Now, part of me says, pay attention to me.
Right.
And yet, she's not writing on Facebook to her buddy about something else. So if that's the way she communicates, you know, I'm a half full person, not a half empty person.
Yeah, which I think is great.
And I also think, and I also have always preached and taught that we should be using the latest technology. It does appear to be isolating. There's a whole school of thought. Keith Anderson, who's probably the best known, one of the best known, you know, in this area, talks about the new cathedral and the cathedral of Twitter and Facebook messages. That is now that is the new town, the new cathedral square.
Yeah.
And I think there's something to that. Now, it has to be harnessed. It has to be not managed. I'm not saying that. But I think we have to be in there.
Yeah.
So if we're going to leave it alone, we're going to push it off and say, no, 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 not in our, somebody else will be there.
Yep.
And for those of us that are, well, what should we say, Kristen? Moderate Christians. It may be some parts of Christianity that we're not so comfortable with.
Yeah.
The so-called right wing in Christianity is very. It seems very comfortable using new technology as they always have been.
Yeah.
And it's time those of us in the so-called mainline get more comfortable and use it.
Yep.
You know, and you can lament, oh, it's terrible that there isn't here, and I even did some lamenting earlier about the money that we didn't have for church-wide for production. Or you can say, what can we do?
Yeah, here we are.
What is the money for?
Yep.
What's the talent that's out there?
Yep.
And try to figure it out.
Yep.
And you and I were talking before we turned this on, too, about, you know, pastors even debating. This is going to be the year of the big faith films.
Right,
Son
Noah.
Of God, Son of God, yep. Noah. And I think the one that pastors going to be asked about more is the Heaven is for Real.
Okay.
You familiar with that bestseller? Four-year-old boy who died
right.
and went to heaven and came back.
Yep.
Big bestseller.
Yep.
And this is not a conservative church, that church in the South that did Fireproof and Courageous. This is a Hollywood production.
Yeah,
all of those.
Right.
And yes, Russell Crowe is Noah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He wants the Pope to see it, I read. and, you know, and Noah's going to have, he's going to have muscles.
I know, right?
And he's going to be a powerful guy. And, don't we believe that we want the largest mass of people to hear our story?
Yeah.
And now we're not going to like every interpretation, and we're not going to be comfortable. I mean, Son of God is outtakes from
the History
from
Channel,
the History
right?
Channel yep. Bible program.
Yep. Right.
Burnett and Downey.
Right.
Mark Burnett and Roman Downey.
Right.
And, you know, I thought the special effects were a little cheesy, but I thought it was. But I mean.
Right.
But a lot of people watch that.
That's right.
Millions of people on a cable channel that's even hard to find.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you know,
right.
That tells you something. And
right.
you know that that most church libraries within a year are going to have copies of the Bible
that's
from
right.
the History Channel in them.
That's right.
And, you know, the same as they have Jesus of Nazareth and they have all the Hollywood films, and they'll probably have Noah.
Yeah.
So
how can we take advantage of that?
So okay, so the ELCA doesn't have money to do a major film. Well, somebody's doing it. So how? So we should be doing a study guide. We
sure.
should be doing this. When The Temptation of the Christ came out, I was invited to one of the screenings with the producer, you know, I wrote a review that ended up going all over the world.
Wow.
And where I said it wasn't anti-Semitic, and I was sitting in front of the American Jewish community people who were also there.
Yeah.
Didn't say that. But I also thought, I said it was Braveheart meets Ben-Hur meets the Gospels. and I mean, it was violent, and it was too violent for me. But it did, there were people that heard the story of Jesus for the first time through that movie.
Yeah.
So we need to know about it and talk about it. Pastors need to be familiar with it. The last thing we want to be is condemning something we haven't seen.
That's right.
If we haven't seen it, we should shut up.
Yeah, good.
If we've seen it, we should talk about it and we can add our interpretation. If we think it's wrong, we can support it, we can correct it, we can do whatever.
Right.
But now I saw you. We're already running out of time.
I know. I think what I want to end with, Eric, is what you said. I think that the thing that I want to encourage our listeners to continue to reflect on is that glass half full model, and to remind ourselves that there are certainly challenges that these new media technologies present for the church, but there are also so many opportunities, like
That's
you
right.
said, and that it's not good enough to just sort of close our ears and close our eyes and say we're not interested, we're not going to pay attention, because we are then losing opportunities to really engage with people around issues that they're finding relevant and interesting. So, Kristen Johnson Largen with Reverend Eric Schaefer for the Seminary Explorers. Thank you very much, Eric.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of the Lutheran Theological Seminary at Gettysburg. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. All opinions expressed on this program are those of the individual speakers and are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.